Electrical activity in the brain like this means it's working. But in this University of Cincinnati Medical Center patient who suffered a head injury, the electrical waves go silent 3 times in an hour and a half. Under normal circumstances, neurons in the brain are highly organized. Proteins and various other chemicals regulate the water content so the brain can generate electrical activity. After some traumatic brain injuries, UC researcher Dr. Jed Hardings says electrical disturbances, 10 times bigger than an epileptic seizure, spread through the brain like a tsunami, causing a secondary wave of damage.
Once this process is initiated in one part of the cerebral cortex, it triggers a wave that spreads out then through the neighboring regions. And depending on the baseline state of the various areas of the brain, the damage can be permanent or the brain can be resilient and recover from it.
Harding's research shows 60% of the most serious head injury patients who require surgery have brain tsunamis. But waves of electrical damage could be more widespread, according to UC brain surgeon Dr. Laura Nguyen.
Even in patients that have a mild traumatic brain injury, which is a concussion, some of those patients will maybe have some symptoms that last for a few days, and sometimes patients have symptoms that can last for up to a year. And we really don't know why. There have been a lot of studies looking at traumatic brain injury and trying to sort of find a cure, and all of those have been failures.
To find out if somebody is having a tsunami, Nguyen has to surgically implant electrodes. Only 20% of head injury patients are candidates for surgery and brain monitoring. However, new research shows that a non-invasive cap of electrodes may be able to accomplish the same thing and reach a lot more people. UC's $5 million grant from the Defense Department hopes to confirm that initial research.
What we found in some patients that had both electrodes on the brain and also non-invasive electrodes on the scalp, we found that there were in fact correlates of these brain tsunamis, essentially electrical signatures of these tsunamis that we could record from the scalp. And this gave us the idea that we might be able to record these non-invasively.
The CAP, producing an electroencephalogram or EEG recording, would open up brain tsunami monitoring to a much wider variety of patients.
And once we are able to come up with a way in that we can use the scalp electrodes, like Jed was mentioning, to be able to look at this in sort of a more normal population, the population of traumatic brain injured patients that do not need surgery, that will help us have more information about exactly what are these and how do we treat them.
UC is leading this study that also includes Baylor College of Medicine, Massachusetts General Hospital, the University of California, San Francisco, the University of Pittsburgh, and the University of Miami. Study preparation is underway, and eventually researchers will enroll patients. Doctors will put one set of monitoring electrodes directly on the brain during surgery and a second set on the scalp. They'll record the electrical brain activity continuously for up to a week, hoping to determine if the non-invasive method works.
And so we have huge, huge quantities of data that will all live in the cloud and be exchanged between various analysis teams. But it's, you know, probably going to be around 20 to 25 channels of data, each recording 200 points of data per second for 7 days continuously. So you can imagine what a massive volume this is.
Harding says the next step is to come up with an algorithm to evaluate all the data. Results from this study could make EEG monitoring standard for all brain trauma intensive care patients and others like stroke victims. Harding says almost all people who have a severe stroke have a brain tsunami. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.